Greetings and salutations, everyone. It's Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. It is November 20th, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I am now back in the beautiful town of Morristown, New Jersey. It is 34 degrees here, Timmy, and that sucks.
So you mean you're in the Carolinas. You're not in New Jersey, right?
I'm in New Jersey, Timmy.
You're in 30. New Jersey. Okay, I got everything reversed here. I thought it was the other way around.
Well, we came up for the holidays, so we wanted to get up for Thanksgiving, and then we decided to stay through Christmas and, you know, hang out with a new grandson and things like that. So, just literally got in about an hour ago, and we're ready to roll, Timmy. Already back to work.
Well, I tell you, haste makes waste, and I'm glad you're not doing this from a truck stop somewhere on I, whatever it happens to be, probably 75 or one of them.
Now, Tim, are the rumors true that you're still waiting on hold on your computer trying to get Taylor Swift tickets?
Yes. You know, on my list of top 10,000 things to do this week, it came in at 9,873, but isn't that just
it's unbelievable.
A total farce, really. Why would anybody pay, like, hey, if I'm going to pay 20-some-odd thousand dollars to a musician, I'll buy Joe Bonamassa a plane ticket, donate $20,000 to his food bank, and have him play on a little Fender Twin in my living room for an hour. And I'm sure he'd do it for an hour for that sort of money.
And I have to tell you, you got to give it up for Taylor Swift, Timmy. She has created a brand that is second to none. And kids want to come see her. It's the Beatles, Michael Jackson. It's that level. I mean, it's pretty impressive if you think about it. I mean, you could say what you want about her music, but how she's been able to, you know, kind of market herself and really become part of, at least in America, the part of the American fabric, is something that is pretty impressive.
Yeah, no, it's very impressive. It's just a shame that the average fan will never get the opportunity to see her.
And it was a shame because I think they tried to get just fans to do it, and the scalpers got into them. So,
well, yeah, there's got to be a better way. I don't know. Call me an old-fashioned fool. But I sort of liked walking up to the box office and slapping down my $5 for a ticket, and away we go. I don't know. I understand why things have to change, why things have to be different. But at the same point in time, this wheel adjusted based on demand pricing, that's crap. Big-time crap.
I know. Remember when we were kids, Timmy, you would get up the crack of dawn and go wait outside the arena to buy tickets when they came on.
What?
And that's just a lost art. Nobody does that anymore. You get online and you start hitting. I've done it, Timmy, for tickets, not obviously Taylor Swift tickets, but I've done that, and it's frustrating. And when you get a high demand stuff, I mean, you get put on hold, and all of a sudden you're just about in. You get page not found, and you got to start all over again.
Well, yeah, quite a few of the concerts I attended in my youth, I just showed up the morning of the concert, skipped school, and volunteered my services as a local roadie for the day. And quite often,
did you really?
Yeah, quite often I got free tickets. Yeah.
Wow.
Many times I just showed up. The trucks arrived, and you just asked, "Hey, you guys need a hand with anything?" And yeah, they'd always pick, you know, 6, 8, 10 kids or whatever. And I was a big strap, and I wasn't strong, but I was a big kid, so they took one look at that and said, "Yeah, you can handle the lighting rigging, okay?"
Wow, that's I did not know this. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I saw April Wine. I think I roadied. I think I did one for Rush.
Look at you! You're using it as a verb now. You roadied.
Yeah. No, it was a lot of fun. And you know what? Hey, free tickets.
Sure.
Occasionally, you'd. I think I saw one from the side of the stage. So it was cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really, really neat. So if anybody's going to the Taylor Swift concert, I'm assuming with their preteen daughter, let us know, because that should be something else, Timmy. It's huge news here. Now Congress has gotten involved because
they should.
Because it's like, you know, people are not getting the tickets when they want. They're calling foul on Ticketmaster and blah, blah, blah. So we'll see if that amounts anything. But, I mean, you can't tick off Taylor Swift, Timmy. She's like – I mean, her and Elon Musk, you kind of, who's more powerful in the world today? But one of the two is.
And just to let everybody know, I am not rodeoing, okay, for any Taylor Swift concerts. Don't be emailing me for tickets. It ain't happening.
Timmy, I think we've got a good show planned for everybody. It's going to be a short show. We will finish here in an hour, and because I'm tired, Timmy, because I've been in a car the last couple of days. So if you're ready to get started, there's been a lot of news in the last week.
Yeah, there's been a few things happening that we should probably cover, and I'm really looking forward to breaking down the AL East with the fantasy questions, getting going on that. I actually like read the notes and did some prep today, Rich.
Wow. What do you want to do first? You want to do the news and notes, or do you want to do the American League East fantasy questions?
Well, if we skip the news, will it still be relevant by the next time we do a podcast?
No. Oh, you think it'll take an hour to do the AL East?
Yeah, I think it's going to take probably a full hour to go.
All right. Well, let's do the news then. So the first thing, Timmy, this, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm sitting there minding my own business. I look down and Teoscar Hernandez gets traded. I'm like, oh my gosh, like big players are already getting moved, and he gets moved for Eric Swanson and kind of, I guess he's still a prospect, Adam Macko. He was in the fall league. I didn't see him pitch. Always been a fan of Eric Swanson, and then you're thinking someone with the Yankees, and you take a look at his pitch FX data, Timmy, and it's some of the best in baseball. And also you look down at Teoscar Hernandez, 30 home run guy, never walks, is a fastball machine, but he throw him a breaking pitch, can't hit it. So I don't know, Timmy, break this down. I mean, did the Mariners pull a fast one here, or is it a reasonable trade?
Well, I think it's a very reasonable trade, and for all the people screaming and yelling about Teoscar Hernandez and his offensive prowess, how many times has he broke 30 home runs in his career?
Just once, right?
Yeah. Just once. I think the Jays are a better team with Eric Swanson than they are with Teoscar Hernandez. Now, I'm not saying, hey, I like Teoscar Hernandez. He's a great guy. He's great with the fans. He'll certainly help the Mariners and their offense. Okay, so I'm not slighting Hernandez, but let's face it, the Blue Jays need some bullpen help. And they need it in a big way. And they showed off the fact that they needed it last year in the playoffs. So with what's happening in bullpens, you take a look early on. Edwin Diaz signed for the biggest bucks, I think, ever by a relief pitcher.
Yes, correct.
Okay, take a look at Houston and Rafael Montero.
Yeah.
3 years, 34. The Padres re-upped on both Suarez and Nick Martinez. Relief pitchers are going to be hard to get, and the Jays needed one badly. So I like the deal.
I like the deal definitely from a baseball standpoint, Tim. And if you take a look at the data, I mean, look, everybody, go to Baseball Savant, bring up Eric Swanson. I mean, it's high spin, it's high velocity, it's low hard hit rate. I mean, it's everything you want in a pitcher. And it's almost looked like Presley before he got traded from Seattle down to, or no, Minnesota Twins down to Houston. So I think it was very shrewd by the Blue Jays. Teoscar Hernandez got big time power, Timmy. Fourth hardest hit fastball hitter in the league. I mean, so he can destroy a fastball. You take a look at off-speed pitches, and it's a lot of swing and miss there, soft hit balls. But, you know, he's going to hit 25-plus home runs, and I think Seattle needs that player.
Well, yeah, I think both teams need the players that they got. You look at the Jays, they got Springer, Bichette, Vlad Jr., Kirk, Chapman. And, you know, hey, Espinal and Lourdes Gurriel, Whit Merrifield, the Jays still have a very, very good offense. But what it's done is it's bumped players like Anthony Bass and Adam Cinder and Tim Mesa down in the pecking order a little bit.
They need to be knocked down a little bit, yes.
Well, exactly. If the Jays are going to take the next step, they've got the offense in place without Teoscar. They didn't have the bullpen in place. And let's face it, how did the Houston Astros bullpen do in the playoffs?
Timmy, that was the difference maker. I mean, because they didn't hit. The only person that Jeremy Pena, thank you. Boy,
you're
Eric
welcome.
Pena. Jeremy Pena hit.
We're still on the prospect show.
That's true. But, I want to go to the starting lineup for the Mariners.
Okay.
You got Julio Rodriguez. I think he's going to start opening day.
Mm-hmm.
You got Teoscar Hernandez. He's going to start opening day. Like, yeah. Who's going to be that? Is it going to be Jarrett Kelenic? I mean, Jesse Winker's still there. Let's talk about him getting moved. Taylor Trammell's there. I mean, who? Tell me the outfield on opening day.
The outfield on opening day will be Teoscar, Kelenic, and Julio Rodriguez.
So you think
possibly with Teoscar DHing as well, and if they don't move Winker, they'll have another outfielder somewhere. Okay, that's going to fill in there. Maybe Taylor Trammell will get a couple hundred at bats, or maybe they're not done making moves yet. Which I've heard they're looking. I've heard rumors that they're looking at a second baseman.
Look,
you know,
if
Cole Long was mentioned,
they're
not done yet.
Yeah, and Jesse Winker. I know people don't like Jesse Winker, but Timmy, he's going to be in hot demand if they try to trade him because he's an on-base machine, and that's what teams need. Imagine him in like a White Sox uniform. I think that would be beautiful. They need guys that can get on base.
Well, all you have to do is take a look, okay, at the current top five penciled into Seattle. Julio Rodriguez, right-handed bat. Ty France, right-handed bat. Eugenio Suarez, right-handed bat. Cal Raleigh, switch hitter. Teoscar Hernandez, right-handed bat. And then they got three lefties in Winker, Kelenic, and J.P. Crawford at the bottom of the lineup. I don't think the Mariners are finished. I think they're going to find another left-handed bat somewhere that they can slot in possibly, you know, in the either two or six hole.
Well, Trammell's a left-handed batter, too, so I don't think he's done, Timmy. Look, he hasn't hit since he's been up. I've always been a big fan. I think Kelenic gets the first shot, and gosh, I hope he plays, Timmy. I'm going to be really disappointed if he can't play at the major league level.
Well, he's only 23. I for those who have written him off, I think it's a little premature still. Not everybody. No, Rome wasn't built in a day, and I think Kelenic's got too much talent to not win out in the end and be at least an average, maybe a bit above average player. So
agreed. Let's talk about some of these non-tendered guys, Timmy. And at the top of the list is Cody Bellinger. You and I talked about it. I'm going to say in July that we thought the Dodgers would non-tender him because he'd be a lot of money. Timmy, he still won an MVP. What, 2019? I mean,
yeah. Long ago, far away.
That's not that long ago, my friend. I mean, he has been a guy that just has fallen off the table. My question to you is, I don't care where he winds up, he's going to be in a new uniform. Yeah. Is this going to be the scenery change he needs to get his career back on track, or is he just a guy that can hit a fastball up in the zone and just going to be exposed for the rest of his career?
I think something has to change, and he hasn't. So based on that, I am thinking we're going to see more. Hey, the move certainly won't hurt him, but I'm not anticipating a bounce back to 2019. He's been exposed. Everybody knows it. Until he makes a change, and at this point in time, we haven't seen it. I think we're looking at the same Cody Bellinger, and I don't think you can look at him any more right now than a fifth outfielder.
If the Dodgers can't fix Cody Bellinger, Timmy, that list becomes very small who has a chance to fix him.
Well, yeah, and you start looking, okay? He's coming off a season where I believe he was paid $17 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, how much of a cut is he willing to take? How many teams are willing to spend $15 to $20 million on a one-year shot that things will be better? I don't think there's that many.
I think he's probably more of a $5-6 million bet that somebody throws on him. So, I mean, it's got to be somebody who really think. My guess is all the other 29 teams probably think, at least the hitting coach probably thinks they can fix him.
Every hitting coach can fix anybody, right?
That's right. We'll see. Let's try to figure out what he's going to become, where he signs. If he signs with Pittsburgh or a place like that, forget about it, Tim. It's not going to. You know, another guy who got non-tendered who I'm very intrigued with is Dom Smith. I don't think he got a legitimate shot. When he did play, he played pretty well for the Mets. I think if he gets a full-time gig, Timmy, he might be a guy at target.
Yeah, he's not going to Cleveland. We know that. Because they already dispatched their big guy in Framil Reyes. So
yeah, but yeah, Dominic Smith is not, he's not a big strikeout guy though. I think it's an interesting. He's a little bit of an on base guy. So I wouldn't be surprised if they try to drill in on him.
Yeah, Seattle might give him a shot.
Yeah, it was first base out. Well, I he's somebody that intrigues me. Luke Voit also got non-tender. Timmy, is he a guy that would be interest of you if he gets re-signed?
Again, depending on where he gets signed and how many at-bats you're looking at out of him. Yeah, I was sort of surprised that shook down the way it did. You know, he didn't have really that horrible a year, did he? Obviously, Washington has just decided they don't want to head in that direction.
Probably just don't want to pay. Just don't want to pay the money. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're looking young. They're a few years away. So Luke Voit doesn't address any of their current organizational needs, right?
Yeah. He hit 22 home runs in 2020. It was the abbreviated year, and he's hit 33 home runs and 809 plate appearances since then, right? So 21 and 22. So, I mean, you're talking 15, 16 home runs a year. And as a part-time player, I think if you got full-time at-bats, you could be a 25 home run guy.
Oh, the Marlins are at the head of the queue, probably.
I would be interesting. Here's a guy, Timmy, that's kind of sad, and that's Alex Reyes. I mean, it just health did not cooperate with him. He's got a great arm. Is there any hope that he can land somewhere and be effective at all?
Definitely. Somebody will take a chance on Alex Reyes.
Would you, as a fantasy manager, take a chance on him?
It would depend on where he lands and how he looks in the spring. If he ends up on a team like the I'll just mention the Marlins, but a team that could use a closer. Let's see what he has in the spring. Obviously, the Cards don't think it's going to be enough, and they have a deep bullpen. But hey, I'm rooting for Alex Reyes.
Yeah,
and I hope he lands in a situation and is healthy enough to display the skills, because he does have them.
Wasn't it just 2021 that he had like 25? And it was a closer for like 5 months out of the year. Then he got taken out in September. But, I mean, he had a pretty good season.
Yeah, no. Hey, that run of his in the minors before he got called up, I can't remember which run it was, but he had one run in the minors. It was just absolutely off the charts amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. So I'm going to look at looking 24. I'm seeing... Let's see, saves. 29 saves in 2021.
Yeah, well, again, he had labrum damage in his shoulder. I'm assuming that the Cards know his medical situation good. I'm hoping he can find a way to bounce back, but that's pretty serious surgery.
No, and he didn't play, obviously, last year either. No. So, yeah, maybe they've just decided to move on. Timmy, your guy, the Mets acquire your guy, Elizer Hernandez, and he hasn't been good. Posted a 6.35 ERA last year. I know you liked him coming into last season. The Mets are pretty good at this, Timmy, but so are the Marlins. What do you think about Elizer Hernandez?
I think my philosophy of going after all Marlin starters along with Guardian starters hit a speed bump here. Not all are created equal. And, yeah, you nailed it. You know, he doesn't throw hard. The spin rate is low. I think there's always hope. But, hey, the NL East is a tough division. Nice. I sure wouldn't want him as my number 4 or 5 starting pitcher breaking camp.
So it's a no then on Elizer Hernandez.
Yes, it is. I've seen enough.
All right,
I drank the Kool-Aid. No more.
All right, so I'm going to be your accountability partner in this, Timmy. When you put him in your waiver wire and you start to bid on him, I'm going to remind you of this conversation.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to preface that narrative by saying, Rich, in DL5, could you pick up Eliezer Hernandez this week?
And then trade
him to me.
There we go. Today, let's take a break. Got a couple more questions for you, and then we're going to start on the AL East fantasy questions. So a couple more random ones, and then we'll talk about the Yankees, and that'll blend us right into our fantasy questions on the AL East. The Diamondbacks acquired Kyle Lewis from the Mariners for somebody named Cooper Hummel, which I don't know if he's from the Hummel figurine family or not. I think it's spelled
differently. Or telescope. No, hey.
Oh, that's right, the Hummel telescope.
Yeah, they found space for him. On the roster.
Is it Hummel? Is that how you spell the Hummel? You sure it's Hummel Space Telescope?
I have no idea.
It's something like
that was one of my better attempted lines at BSing.
So I kind of find this very intriguing. I mean, the Diamondbacks have a lot of players to throw out there in the outfield, but Kyle Lewis, didn't he win a Rookie of the Year in 2020?
Again, that was long ago and far away in sort of a distant galaxy. The problem with Kyle Lewis is he shouldn't be in the outfield.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got to be DHing as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it's just a shame his knees are gone, and we kind of knew that going into last season, actually warned everybody. But it could be an opportunity for him for the Diamondbacks, don't you think?
It could be, but again, you gotta take a look at the fact that the Diamondbacks also have Seth Beard, Alec Thomas, and Pavin Smith.
Oh, Seth Beard, come on. You got to do better than that.
All chomping at the bit. Hey, everybody loves a beer, okay? But again, there are some other players that are, chomping at the bit, call them, hey, they're in the organization, and at some point in time, they'll have to make a decision. Again, my concern with Kyle Lewis is the exact same concern I had a year ago, and that's the same concern I'll have a year from now. He's got to be DHing as far as I'm concerned, Rich. It's an intriguing lead option, but again, there's...
He can't beat out Pavin Smith as
Pavin
a DH?
Pavin Smith will bring you D in the outfield. Kyle Lewis is, I think, going to be limited to a DH spot. Again, it could happen. It could work out. But do I really want to, in a 15 league, be plugging my DH spot up with Kyle Lewis as a bench, as a bench option in deeper leagues? Sure. Toss a dart and hope it works.
So, Timmy, I know the Angels are, their team's up for sale. But last I looked, let me check again. Yes, they still have Shohei Ohtani. They still have Michael Trout.
Yes.
I would hope they would have gone after Jacob deGrom, some big stud. But they go after Tyler Anderson, who's okay, Timmy.
He's okay.
He had a great season last year. Mm-hmm. Can the same pixie dust go, an hour and a half down, or I guess probably 2.5 hours down to Anaheim from Dodgerland? Can he do the same thing he did for the Angels?
Probably not, but when you look at the Angels' rotation, you're looking at, Ohtani, and Sandoval, and Detmars, still Seth's in waiting, but, they definitely needed pitching. Okay, and they needed pretty well 2, 3, 4, and 5 type starters. They got themselves a 4 or 5 type starter. Which is fine. But the bigger problem is, shouldn't they be trading Ohtani and getting max value? It ain't going to get any higher, is it? Shohei Ohtani is concerned. Hey, if they're going to attempt to rebuild, they've either got to sign a rebuild on the fly. They got to sign a 2-3 type starter and hold on to Ohtani.
But they never sign starters, Timmy. They never do.
Move Ohtani. It's time. His value will not get any higher than it is today.
I don't think they're going to, Tim.
I don't think they are either, but I think it's the right move.
I think they probably should have done it at the deadline. So just so everybody knows, the His average fastball velocity is bottom 10% of the league. He does have good spin, though, at 64%. And guys just did not weren't able to hit his pitches last year. So had some of the best, lowest exit velocity in baseball. In fact, he's always had some of the best, lowest exit velocity. So guys do not get good hacks at his pitches, Timmy. That's the one thing that he's got to really hold up. And he throws strikes. So...
Yeah, I think if you're looking at a 4-5 type starter this year, that's put the right place for him in our game. Yeah,
yeah. I just wish the Angels would have done more, but maybe they're smarter than us. Timmy, let's go to the Yankees. I think the Yankees are doing some interesting things. I think there was a lot of people. We didn't talk about IKF. I was do they sign him? Do they not sign him? They decided to tender an offer to him, so they did $6 million 1 year. Last I looked, they have Anthony Volpe and Oswald Peraza sitting there ready to go, I think. And correct me if I'm wrong, Jeremy Pena was the MVP for the Astros as a rookie. Didn't they learn anything from what the Astros did? Can't Anthony Volpe do the same thing Jeremy Pena did?
Yeah, but you know what? The Yankees willing to re-up on a proven veteran like IKF for 1 year and $6 million, that could be the difference maker in Aaron Judge re-signing, couldn't it? Sorry. I can't keep a straight face on that one. Yeah, the Yankees have got to get these kids in the lineup and now. It's as simple as that. I think Kiner Falefa is a backup middle infielder.
Yeah, but it's
going to... They paid $6 million for him.
Yeah, but it's going to take at-bats away probably from Peraza, Timmy. That's a good little player that's not going to get a chance to play.
Hopefully he is used in the role of mentor, backup, middle infielder, whatever, and it doesn't affect either Volpe or Peraza as much as we anticipate right now it might. I think the Yankees, I think they got to get those kids in the lineup and now.
Totally agree with you, Timmy. They got to get Volpe in the lineup. They got to find a place for Peraza. And Oswaldo Cabrera is a nice little player, too.
Yeah.
I think he's probably a utility guy, but they can't. I don't understand because of those three guys, I would have gone with those three guys and just said, thanks for the memories, Falefa, and let's move on. But they decided to.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I would have done exactly the same. Yeah.
But they did re-sign Anthony Rizzo, Tim.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a solid signing. I think the Cubs tried to lowball him, if I'm not mistaken, and that didn't work out too well. So when we discussed where these players are going to land, my thought process was right. The Cubs just didn't want to spend any money, so he'd work with the young players, the Yankees. Yeah, it's a good solid deal.
I think Rizzo was probably wanted in a lot of teams to get that kind of deal. Timmy's still a pretty good defensive first baseman. Yeah. Strikeout rate of 18%, walk rate of 10.6. He had a BABIT of .216. So you can argue there's some on-base percentage batting average upside from coming into the season. I don't know if he hits 30 home runs, so I have to ask you. Stat line for this coming season, batting average, home runs, and RBIs.
Okay, let me flip to my other notes here. I'm going back and forth between two Word documents here. What did I have to say? Because I believe that is a question.
No, it is not. I have Anthony Volpe.
I guess the one concern I do have... were the splits. Rizzo did have a huge first half, 22 homers, 57 RBIs, 10 homers, 18 RBIs in the second half. I think we're looking at a .240 bat, 27 homers, 83 RBIs.
That's a great player, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely,
it's a guy you should be drafting as your first baseman.
Well, when looking at my early look at first base, yeah, definitely he's going to be an everyday first baseman for fantasy purposes this year. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Let's stick with the Yankees, Timmy. Can we do them as our first, since we're talking about Kiner Falefa and Anthony Rizzo?
I think we certainly can. All I have to do is get up get up my right word document here. Yankees, there we go.
So
got it.
Because I think now this the first two questions, I wrote this before they re-signed Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. Anthony Volpe, flat out stat line for 2023 at bats, and I want you to take a pause and we could talk about that. Home runs, stolen bases, and batting average. How many at bats does he get?
540.
Really? So you think whoa. I think, Timmy, I am the host. What did I just say?
Yes. You said his stat line for 2023. My response is, now where does he amass those numbers? I haven't a clue. So
okay. I'm going to give you everything.
It did work, Rich. I was going to have some fun with that.
Oh, okay. All right. So, all right. I'm sorry. Let's start off. Give me his stat line. At-bats, home runs, RBIs, and whatever. Stolen bases and batting average.
24 home runs, 38 stolen bases, a batting average of .265, an OBP of .355, and where does he amass those numbers? I don't have a clue. I really
don't. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the potential is there to see a combined total of 20-plus homers and 35-plus stolen bases, and I really hope that the Yankees Major League club, and not their minor, not their AAA club, is a beneficiary of that potential. I just don't know. I really don't.
Okay. Wow. I don't play in any leagues that count minor league stats. Do you? Yeah. That'd be fun.
Not yet, but if I did, I'd be drafting him in the first round.
That'd be a lot of fun, Timmy. You know, if you think about it, I mean, because then it's like all of a sudden the major league players, maybe you probably take all major league pitching, but probably a lot of minor league players. Imagine some of those low-A guys. Imagine if you had Zach Veen or somebody like that, the stolen bases. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you'd be praying for no call-ups.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm gonna drill down on this, Timmy. I gotta know how many at bats he gets in the major leagues. You gotta let us know what your initial thinking is.
A couple hundred.
So he's not a full time guy.
No. Well, again, you got Oswaldo. I always get the two of them mixed up, but you got Peraza in there, right?
Uh-huh. So it's Peraza's the better defender.
And you got IKF, right? So
yeah.
Yeah.
So first of all, I can't believe Peraza, who I like a lot, I can't believe he's going to stand in the way of Anthony Volpe, right? I can't believe they're going to do that. So I think if Volpe's ready, he'll get the opportunity, but does that mean that he gets it and then all of a sudden IKF is the backup? You can see that playing out.
Backup mentor sort of thing. But again, how much patience will the Yankees have? If he gets off to a slow start and goes 0 for his first five games, do they ship him back down, bring Peraza up? Do they, you know what I mean? They got three guys that can be playing shortstop next year. And yep. I think all three of them are going to garner at bats.
Okay, so Timmy, you've got a draft and hold coming up prior to the start of spring training. Let's call it February 1st. Decided you went. Anthony Volpe is famous. He's going to be a top 10 prospect in most prospect list. He's going to chance to be very good. There's a chance for big time stolen bases. You put it at 38. It's going to hit. There's going to be some power. I don't think 20 home run power. There's going to be some power there. Where do you draft him? Or do you?
If I'm in a draft and hold, I'm looking at after 35, and I'll probably take Volpe ahead of Peraza, just for the argument that you just made.
What do you mean after 35?
Round 35 in a 50-round draft.
So you think you can get Anthony Volpe in the 35th round?
That's where I would be taking him, yes, because Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is going to muddy the water somewhat, as is Peraza.
Don't you think Volpe's going to go in like the 15th round or something like that? Don't you think people will gamble on him?
I won't. No, I think there's better gambles out there.
I agree, but don't you think that's where a lot of people are going to draft him?
And I say good for you.
Okay, so bottom line is he's not going to be in your team unless for some reason he falls.
Exactly.
Who gets more playing time? Oswald Peraza, who is the shortstop, or Oswaldo Cabrera, who is kind of the super utility guy, Tim?
I'm going to go with Oswaldo Cabrera. And the reason I'm going to head in that direction is because I can't see with the I can't see the Yankees going with Aaron Hicks as a full-time player. I think the middle infield is just too muddled potentially to get a fair read right now on how the at-bats are going to shake down. But I feel more comfortable with Cabrera versus Hicks. So I'll go with Cabrera over Peraza.
They seem to like him, Timmy. He played a lot at the end of the season. He and Peraza made their postseason. Yeah. So, and they might be done with Aaron Hicks.
Yeah, well, they might be, but I think they still owe him some money. So who
that's
knows
what I'm
how
looking,
that's...
That's what I'm looking up right now, Timmy. How much money they owe him. Let's see here. Wow, they still have a big payroll, Tim.
They do. Toss Aaron Judge into that. Huge payroll.
Good Lord, Timmy. He is paid through 2025. Not a lot, but he's signed for the next 3 years.
Yeah, probably about $10 million a season.
Exactly. 10-7, 9-7, 9-7. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So there's a $30 million commitment
bench player.
There. I got to go with Cabrera.
Wow. Are you even targeting Cabrera or Peraza?
I will target Cabrera as a fifth type outfielder, probably.
Interesting.
Or a reserve bat. Yeah.
As Walter,
because I think he's gonna get enough at bats, and I think he's got some skills.
You're in a deep 15 team league, Timmy. You get called out on outfielders, and Oswaldo Cabrera or Drew Waters is left. Who do you take the gamble on?
Cabrera.
Interesting.
Waters is still too much of a free swinger for me.
Wow.
And he's playing in a park that I don't think is going to help him.
Are you willing to do a steak and liquor bet?
I'm always willing to do a steak and liquor bet.
Better fantasy season, whoever finishes higher in the fantasy rankings. I got Drew Waters. You get Oswaldo Cabrera.
Sure. I'm game.
All right. That's an easy one.
Yeah. Okay. I'm easy. What can I say?
That's what she said.
you knew that, though.
Exactly, yeah. So here's my third question. Will you draft Gerrit Cole in the first round?
No, I won't. I like the pitching options in the second and third round, and giving up a potential five-category bat for Cole, it's not going to be in my plans. I want that bat in the first round.
I agree wholeheartedly with you. So top five? First of all, is Gerrit Cole the number one pitcher on your board?
I haven't looked at it. I haven't looked at it in detail, but probably not. Mm-hmm. As much as I like the strikeouts and everything, I haven't decided how I'm going to play the starting pitching game this year, but I think I'm going to be higher than most with two pitchers. One is Julio Urias, and the other is Alek Manoah.
Oh, they're both Cy Young, top three candidates in Cy Young last year.
Yeah.
Not candidates, results. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be a little bit higher than the norm on those two. As far as overall, you know, Burns and Woodruff, yeah, there's a lot of good arms out there, but I think there's going to be a lot of really good options in the second round for starting pitching. And based on what I believe right now, I'm going to want that bat in the first round. Who are you looking at? Jordan Alvarez?
Or Gerrit Cole?
Well, who are you taking?
Yeah, I have a problem with Gerrit Cole. Look, he's going to get you strikeouts. He's going to get you wins. But, Timmy, five games out of the season, he's going to blow up. He does it every year, and he winds up with a mid-threes ERA. And I'm sorry, Tim, ERA and WHIP are part of the – in a rotisserie, they get part of the deal.
Last year, what was his ERA?
Do you have your super fast computer? Yeah, I mean, that's...
I think it was 355. I'll confirm that.
I'm sorry, Tim. As my first pick, my first pitcher off the board, unless I get him, you know, in the third round or something like that, first pitcher off the board, that to pick a first-round draft pick that returns a 350 ERA? No, that's not good enough.
No, I totally agree. You can look at Dylan Cease. You can look at Shohei.
Julio Urias. Give me what was
Alcantara?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's not going to give you the strikeouts, but there's a lot of guys, Timmy, that, okay, maybe I won't get as many strikeouts, but, I mean, the other ratios count, Timmy, and you can catch up a lot of times with strikeouts. You can't catch up as easy with the ratios.
Well, you know, you're Alcantara in Miami won one more game than Gerrit Cole. His ERA was a full run plus .22, better than Gerrit Cole, yeah.
Yeah, but look at the strikeouts are pretty different.
You're down 50 strikeouts. But, again, better whip. That's the pass for me. I can see Alcantara as possibly being my number one pitcher.
Yeah.
I haven't sorted it through yet, but there are some really good options. And I know I will not own Gerrit Cole in any leagues because he will probably go off the board in the first round. And I'm not gonna give up the big bat.
True or false? Dylan Cease is hands down a better fantasy pick than Gerrit Cole.
Hands down, true.
Okay. This is Tim. Tim's a very good player. Number four, Tim, do you consider Clay Holmes as a top 10 closer?
No.
Really? Top five closer? The other way?
You're going in the wrong direction.
Really?
He knows, yes.
Wow.
He missed time in the second half with both a back injury and a shoulder strain.
Interesting.
First half, 1.31 ERA, 16 saves. Second half, a 4.84 ERA and 4 saves. Okay, he wasn't as bad in the second half as he was good in the first, but I'll let somebody else gamble. The Yankees might even look at adding a closer. They might throw Kenley Jansen into the mixer, Craig Kimbrel. Maybe they'll go out and offer the Pirates a deal on Bednar. I just don't feel comfortable with Clay Holmes, and he's not going to be on my short list of closers I'm going to draft this year.
Wow, I didn't expect you to say that, Tim. I really didn't.
But
your argument your argument is good. I didn't expect that, though.
Yeah, no, I just don't like what I saw in the second half. You know, we're talking a shoulder strain to finish up the year. There's some questions in there, and I would feel more comfortable right now with a perceived lesser name closer on a middling type team than I would investing in what I think you're going to have to for Clay Holmes.
Fascinating. I did shudder a little bit when you said Craig Kimbrel, just to let you know. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's I think you went a little too far with that.
Right? Yeah, I think I should cut back on the Kool-Aid a little bit.
Exactly. All right, final question. This will be the question on all 30 teams. Give me a sleeper for the upcoming season, Tim.
Well, you know, any of the middle infielders, okay, should they get the at-bats, have the potential to return great value. Mm-hmm. But the one guy that I'm looking at as a sleeper right now is somebody that I don't think you should really be considering as one.
Clay Holmes?
And that's, no, Luis Severino.
That's a great call.
Right now in 24 drafts at the NFBC, he's got an ADP of 115. I took the relief pitchers out, and right now Severino is going as the 35th starting pitcher off the board with a range of 103 to 132.
This is on the NFBC?
Yes.
They're already out? Wow, haven't even checked.
Oh, already.
Wow, that's awesome.
Insanity prevails. There's a lot of people getting off to early starts.
Hey, Timmy, I got crucified for calling him insane when I was just joshing. So make sure everybody knows you're not really insane if you're already drafting in a league. It's totally okay. That was just hyperbole, Tim.
Yes, it was hyperbole, yes.
Whatever that means.
Give me a second, I'll Google it. We'll come
exactly.
Up with an answer. Yeah, it's the middle of November, and we've already seen 24 drafts. It's great that people want to get off to an early start. Not my cup of tea, but hey, whatever floats your boat. Getting back to Severino, too low for my liking. Way, way too low. As the number 35th starting pitcher off the board in 15, he's being drafted as a mid-three type starting pitcher. Way too low. He had injury issues last year, but none of them related to the arm. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you take a look at what Severino did last year, okay, it was, yeah, you're looking at in 19 starts, a 3.18 ERA, 112 strikeouts, and 102 innings pitched. That's some pretty fine numbers.
Great stuff, so, Tim.
Really fine numbers. So right now, I think Severino is a huge bargain. So as much as he shouldn't be a sleeper right now, early on, he is.
Let's take a break, Timmy. Great stuff. And we'll be back talking about somebody. Timmy, I'm impressed, man. You said that you did your research. You did. It's been impressive.
Well, I did some digging and spent some time. Lenny Melnick's two favorite words, wing it, are not part of the process today.
is that his? Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. I like Lenny. Did you get a chance to see Lenny at the Fall League?
He didn't make it this year.
Really? Oh, that's a shame.
No. Yeah, no, it is a shame.
Is there health issues, or is he doing okay health-wise?
I think Andrea was out west visiting.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's just a timing thing, more or less. But I really miss seeing Lenny. He's a dear friend, and hopefully at some point in time we'll cross paths again.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I like Lenny. I'll tell my favorite Lenny story. I was relatively new. I knew Lenny a little bit. I don't know if we were doing the podcast yet. And I'm standing in line for my tickets. Down to the Arizona Fall League, he comes up to me, he goes, "Rich, can you loan me $20? To me, I just like, sure. Like, it's like I didn't. And he starts laughing, like I'm getting in my wallet and handing him $20. I'm just messing with him. I'm like, I was like, does he need the money? Like, he can't afford it. I mean, like, what does he want? Like, it was very, very funny.
To Arizona, so he could borrow money to catch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't know what to do. So it's like
first serious podcast I ever did was with Lenny. And we chatted while he was driving for about 15 minutes. And I said, "You're going to send me some notes." He says, "Nah, you'll be fine. We'll wing it."
There you go.
I was terrified.
It was funny. He's very, very good at what he does. Timmy, let's go to the Baltimore Orioles. Start back alphabetically.
Okay.
Great. These are six. I got six questions with the Orioles because I'm a big Oriole fan.
Yes.
I've already planned my I've got the hotel for our trip to spring training, Tim.
Good.
So got the dates all booked up, and we're going to go to an Orioles game. So very excited for that. My wife will be very, very excited.
Yes, that is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I won't be making it to spring training this year, I don't think.
Yeah, it's terrible. Everything's still stupid expensive. So
yes, but, very much so.
Anyway, Grayson Rodriguez stat line for 2023.
Yes.
Game started, wins, strikeouts, and ERA. And I guess in the future I will say major league level.
Good call on your behalf. Yeah, I got 22 starts, 8 wins, 140 Ks. Basically, I'm looking at 125 innings and an ERA of 3.70.
So that gets him up, what, June? May?
It should be May. Yeah, I don't think the Orioles are going to work him like a horse. He's their future, so that's why I'm going with 22 starts. It's not an injury concern thing. I just think they're going to be careful with his workload in his rookie year. They're not going to wheel him out there for 175 innings. I'm thinking 125, 130 somewhere.
I think that's good. I think that's totally reasonable. It's totally fair. What did you say his ERA was again?
3.70.
Okay.
AL East is a tough division. There's a lot of teams that got some offense in that division, and as good as he's been, there's going to be an adjustment.
You know, we'll talk about him in a couple of weeks, Timmy, when we do the AL East. You know, I still have a nagging concern about Grayson Rodriguez. I've seen him pitch. First of all, the Orioles don't let him go deep into games. That bugs me. And maybe this year it'll be totally changed coming up in 2023. Stuff is great. Fastball's hard. He throws. He can spin it well. But the off-speed pitches, the last time I saw him, we're just okay. I mean,
they weren't real sharp.
They weren't. His changeup wasn't great. So yeah, okay. I think there's still work left to be done. But the thing that keeps crawling at me is like, why aren't the Orioles letting him go deep into minor league games? And I don't know. So
I would have to assume they're just being cautious.
Maybe.
It's a franchise type arm. You know, and
Everybody says that, Timmy, and usually you haven't seen him when you say he's a franchise arm. I want everybody to see him and like really think about it, and let's see. Now, maybe he is. Maybe he is George Kirby, who I think might be a franchise arm. But we'll see, Timmy. I want to see him come up and pitch.
Right.
Kyle Bradish will or will not be fantasy relevant in 2023?
I'm going to go with neither of those and say he might be fantasy relevant.
God, all right.
I just like to keep all my doors open here.
Zero.
I just gave that answer 0.0 to me. Come on.
And it deserved it.
Deserved it. You lived up to that. Jeez. All right, so let me see if I can help a little bit. Over under 25 starts.
Under but close.
Okay, so he's going to be a full-time pitcher. So a guy that if you need innings, he'll be available. Over under 4 ERA.
I think over marginally.
Interesting. Strikeout an inning, over under?
Yeah, about a strikeout in an inning. My problem is he was wildly inconsistent last year, but we saw potential.
Okay.
You know, he pitched 4 gems, 2 against Houston, 1 against Boston, 1 against Cleveland in his last, 8 starts, and 4 rather poor efforts. He was up, down, and all over the place. Based on what he did against Houston, Boston, and Cleveland, yeah, there's potential there. So I would find a spot for Kyle Bradish in my reserve rounds, or as a number 6 pitcher, and he'd be one of those guys that definitely would be sitting on my bench to start the year, but I saw enough against some really good teams last year. I'm not prepared to say, no, I'm going to totally avoid him, okay? Like I said, it was wildly inconsistent last year, but when he pitched well, he really did pitch well.
Timmy, you got your ballpoint pen out? Maybe one of those markers that is permanent marker out.
Okay.
Get that permanent marker out. Here's what you're going to write down. Kyle Bradish will move to the bullpen at some point and be pretty good there. I'm not saying he's going to blow Felix Bautista out of his job. I think he'll have a chance to be a high leverage reliever, even a closer in the future. I think that is ultimately where he is. The arm, he's got an electric arm. The fastball is very, very good. It's the off-speed pitches that aren't quite good enough to start. That's why you're seeing inconsistency there. The Orioles are good at this, so we'll see. But I think he would fit better in the bullpen. He's got that weird over-the-top release that, you know, I think once people figure that out, see him a lot, that he'll become more hittable. I think he's a target for the bullpen.
Yeah, I think that's fair based on what we've seen thus far and the consistency. Yeah, if he develops more consistency, he went deep into games. He pitched 7 and 8 innings on several occasions. So I'm just not prepared to say he's a bullpen arm yet.
Totally get it. I think the Orioles will try to start him next year, and if it doesn't work, Tim, we'll see what happens. I think, you know, I'm still saying that on Lance McCullers. I still think Lance McCullers would be a better bullpen arm.
Yeah,
but he's paid like a starter. By the way, that was weird. We never talked about that. Did you see that start where it looked like he was tipping his pitches and just got destroyed, particularly by Bryce Harper, and destroyed in the playoffs?
Well, yeah, and Bryce Harper took, was it Alex Boehm aside and had a little chat. I'd love to know what that chat was about. But, yeah, there were rumors he was tipping pitches. Harper saw it. Boehm hit a home run after his chat with Harper. So
did Boehm, yep.
Yeah.
I saw a breakdown on Twitter, or other people posted it, and it looked his where he was bringing his hands up for his fastball versus his other pitches was pretty stark. So,
and the leg kick was definitely different.
Yes, very much so. So I thought that was fast. Anyway, here's a question. So you kind of surprised me in the Clay Holmes. Felix Bautista will be drafted as a blank closer, and you will draft him as a blank closer.
As a top 10 closer, and I will draft him as a top 10 closer.
So you're drafting him ahead of Clay Holmes.
Definitely, yes. 65 and two-thirds last year, 88 strikeouts, 15 saves. The kid's big, strong. He's everything you want in a closer, a .93 whip. Felix Bautista, like I said, I haven't started ranking closers, but he's definitely top 10 for me.
Yeah, he might even be higher than that. I think he's going to be very, very good. Yep, agreed.
Yep.
But so I mentioned a few months ago that I was worried about Cedric Mullins' bad splits and his diminished playing time against some left-handed pitchers. I'm drafting him a round or two and doubt I will get him in any leagues. Is that a mistake?
I think it is, yeah. Last year, he got in 608 at bats. That's not bad. I think he's handled his Crohn's very, very well. He scored 89 runs, 16 homers, 34 stolen bases. Mullins is not a free agent until 2026. So he has three more full seasons before free agency. I hope he doesn't end up on a team like Miami, but even if he does, I think we're looking at 12 to 15 home runs, 30 stolen bases, and he's going to score a fair number of runs. So
first of all, you don't see the Orioles moving him, right?
I don't think it would make sense at this point in time when they've got him under control for three more years.
Yep.
Unless there's a real serious haul coming back.
Yeah, he's going to start to get a little expensive. So, and they've got some great players coming up. Kurtstad, even he won the MVP at the Fall League. So he
looks very good.
Looked good. Yeah. So there's some players coming up. Timmy, I watch a lot of Orioles games. Maybe I don't want to lead people astray. So listen to Tim and not me on this. In fact, you should listen to Tim just about on everything and not me. But
especially the Japanese players.
Oh, yeah, that's not true. That's true. So I said just about everything. So we clarify that. Anyway,
we need a 9-9 button. We need a 9-9.
But I have Cedric Mullins and have him in a dynasty league, and it was one that I was competing in. So I was a little bit more in tune to my stat line in that league. And I can tell you, Tim, there was a lot of zeros in the last couple months of the year where he sat against lefties and he batted lower in the lineup against lefties. So just all I'm saying, the end of the year wasn't as good as the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I think he might have tired a little bit, but he still got in 600 plus at bats and delivered on the home runs and the stolen bases.
Okay.
I get your concern, though.
And I hope it's unfounded because I do like Cedric Mullins. And I mean, look, it's one of the great stories in baseball. A guy who went from demoted from not the major leagues, but from AAA to AA and goes 30, 32 seasons later. I mean, that doesn't get much better than that.
No, it doesn't. It really doesn't.
Give me a sleeper for this coming season in Baltimore, Tim.
Okay, I think you might like this one. Connor Norby.
I like Connor Norby. Somebody just tried to snook him away from me in a trade over the weekend. I said no.
Well, and I think you did the right thing there. I don't think Ramon Urias is the long-term answer, and Norby is coming off an awesome 2022. Between four levels, making it to AAA, he hit 29 home runs, drove in 73 runs, stole 16 bases, posted a .357 OBP. I could see him up for good in mid-May if he gets off to a good start in AAA, and I like Connor Norby a lot. I think there's a good chance in redraft leagues I'll be looking at him for a reserve spot.
I love it, Timmy. When we get to our Baltimore Orioles, first of all, they got one of the strongest systems in the minor leagues. And he's a guy that kind of gets lost in the Orioles system because they got Gunnar Henderson, they got Grayson Rodriguez. Right. They've got famous guys, and he's not famous yet. And he's he's a good player.
He is.
And it's the guy that, I'm not saying he'll ever be better than Gunnar Henderson, right? Because Gunnar Henderson, I think, has special skills.
Right.
But if you tell me he becomes an all-star for a couple of seasons, I would not at all be surprised.
Neither would I, Rich. And like I said, he is he's my sleeper this year.
Love it for
the Orioles. Yeah.
Bonus questions: will the Orioles make the postseason?
No, 500 teams in the AL East won't get it done.
Yes,
I don't see the Orioles being much better than the 500 club.
Tim is incorrect. The Orioles will make the postseason as we take another break and come back with another team, Tim. Had to say that for my wife.
Well, I was going to comment on that, but yeah, you beat me to it.
We are back. We've done the Orioles. We've done the Yankees. We've got about 8 minutes left, so we're going to do one more system, Tim. I'll let you pick. Who would you like? We've got the Red Sox, we got the Rays, and we've got the Blue Jays.
Well, let's take a look at the Tampa Bay Rays.
Okay. Stat line for Wander Franco: home runs, stolen bases, batting average, and on-base percentage. If you look last year, Tim, the on-base percentage was not there.
No, but he doesn't turn 22 until next year. He's still young. I'm going to go with 18 homers, 13 stolen bases, .285 batting average, and a .340 OBP with a slow and steady progression. Not everybody is a Mike Trout and a Hall of Famer after their first season, and I think we're going to see steady growth from Franco. But
Franco
will he be a top 10 shortstop next year? I'm going to say no.
So give me the home runs and stolen bases again.
18 and 13.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that feels about right to me.
I'm being conservative in my opinion.
I think he's fast, Timmy. I just don't know. You know, we'd have to take a look at his sprint speeds, but I think he's fast enough to steal a lot of bases. I just don't know if that's part of the game with the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah, I'm not convinced that he will ever be a huge stolen base type. I think he'll always be double digits, but I don't think we'll see a 25-25 season.
Yeah, I think you might see a 25 home run season down the road.
Yes.
I agree. I think it would be a real stretch for him to do 25-20. Plus, they invested a lot in. Don't you think they're like, dude, no stealing. Like, you know, we've got too much invested in you. We don't want a broken thumb.
Yes, we don't want you running into walls, even though he plays at shorts. You know, we don't need that. Don't have to have it.
So is this a guy then you're interested in at the draft table? Is he still going to be overdrafted?
Yes, I think he will be.
I think he will be too, just because of the name.
Yep, exactly. And shortstop's deep with a lot of talent. Be very careful at shortstop next year.
Second question: do you have any interest in Manny Margot, Harold Ramirez, or Jose Siri at the draft table?
In a very deep league, 20 team with. And not like my 20 team with short positions. It'd have to be a full 20 team format. Right now, there's just too many bodies, not enough counting stats, and we didn't even mention Josh Lowe in there.
Yeah,
there's going to be lots of platooning in that outfield, and until you get into deeper leagues taking advantage of that, it's tough. Very tough.
Yeah. Tyler Glasnow will be drafted as a blank starting pitcher, and you will draft him as a blank starting pitcher.
He will be drafted as a top 35 starting pitcher, and I won't own him. I won't touch him until probably top 50, if that.
There you go. That's what we live for the great Tim McLeod. I knew you've never been a huge Glasnow fan, and coming back from Tommy John surgery, I'm afraid he will be overdrafted.
He's heading into his age 30 season, and his Major League Baseball career high is 14 starts and 88 innings.
First, are you serious? He's 30 years old?
Yeah. Let me just double check that again.
That's impossible. How can he be 30 years old? Oh, my word.
My kids be 38 and 36.
Mine's 33 and 30. Oh, Lord, Timmy, we're getting old. I cannot believe Tyler Glasnow is 30 years old.
He's 29. He's going into his age 30 season. He'll be 30 in August of next year.
That is unbelievable. That just...
Age,
stuns me.
And if you look at his career stats in the bigs, his high is 88 innings pitched. 57, and that was in 2021. In 2020, 57. 2019, 60 2/3. 2018, 55 2/3. 2018, between two teams, he was 111. My bad, I screwed up. 111 and then 88. 2017, 62 innings pitched.
Right.
Yeah, it's not good.
No.
No, and hey, you can bet on the health, and if it works out, all the more power to you, but I'm not going to be drafting him as a number three starter next year, which means I won't own him probably or have him rostered in any leagues.
You and I are in lock, sock, barrel there. I totally agree with you. I do own him in one dynasty league, so I've got my fingers crossed that he's going to come back. Long-term, right. I like the guy, but if I've got to draft him as a top 40 starting pitcher, I'm not doing it. I draft him as a top 60. I get him as my number four guy. With upside, yeah. I can't get him there.
No, because somebody else will make a move on him. So yeah. Again, I think it's a decision. You either want him as your number three, or you basically are passing on him next year.
Timmy, we talked about this. This was kind of a teaser question a couple of weeks ago. I mean, just any other thoughts? I mean, I looked at Roster Resource, and I just can't get excited as a fantasy player on this league. I mean, Randy Rosarena is great.
Yeah. Yep.
Brandon Lau is okay, and Wander Franco are okay. Otherwise, I mean, that starting lineup, Timmy, eh.
Well, yeah, they platoon well, which doesn't help us in our game. The bullpen is great unless you're playing holes. Trying to pick a closer is a fool's errand, right? They got a ton of depth, and over the past two seasons, they've been in the top half of the league for fewest errors. Fundamentally, they play a strong game.
From a fantasy standpoint, Timmy, it's
blah. Yeah. Yeah, again, real game versus our game. And there's a big difference.
Final question for the great Tim McLeod. Give me a sleeper. I've got a sleeper in this system, Timmy, but I want to hear yours.
Okay, my sleeper turns 22 in March. And the Rays definitely have a need for what he brings to the table. Between double and triple A, 12 starts in triple A last year, he struck out 141 in 133 in the third innings. That's 133. That's a lot of innings. Only 33 walks. Combined 257 ERA to go with a 104 whip. And I'm predicting that Taj Bradley will be up by mid-May.
Oh, I love Taj Bradley. Good for you, Tim. Love it.
There's my Tampa Bay sleeper. Sure.
I've got one for you.
Okay.
I'm not going to be able to do this.
Jose Siri?
Yeah. My guy is 23 years old, Tim.
Okay.
Let's see when he turns 24. He's going to turn 24 in February, so he's 24 years old.
Right.
He got 111 games, 381 plate appearances. Mm-hmm. He had 20 home runs, but he hit 205 with a 304 on base percentage. However, he has a 17.6% strikeout rate and an 11.5% walk rate. Nobody is talking about this guy, and that is Isak Paredes.
Yeah. Well, hey, the folks at Roster Resource aren't talking about him either because they got him projected as a bench spot. Paredes had a great year, and again, you know, my concern with Paredes is the same as it is with that outfield. How many at bats does he get?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Well, he got quite a few at bats, you know, as a part time player. So, and look, the ability to hit, make contact are there. So it could come down to just him needing an opportunity. And now, again, that might not happen, but I kind of like him as a, you know, kind of a bench player, maybe a middle corner infielder type guy, and you know, if I get caught out late, I might go for it. I don't think anybody else is going to go for it.
No, I think you have to look at a very deep league. But again, part of the problem is, yeah, the Rays have got Yandy Diaz at third base. They got Wander Franco at shortstop. At second base, they got Brandon Lau. Okay, where does Paredes fit into that equation? Last year, because of the injury to Wander Franco, he found playing time. There's also he could also be one of the 18 bats in the outfield. But it's very undefined where he's going to get his at-bats right now. And that's part of the problem with everybody in Tampa Bay, right?
Yeah.
I like the skills.
His chase rate is he's in the top 10% in terms of not chasing baseballs, which is pretty impressive. He's also in the top 10% of walk rates. I'm taking a look at his spray chart, Timmy. Every one of his home runs was dead pull. So he's a dead pull power hitter, which could be a problem. But, hey, that's my sleeper, and I'm sticking by it. But I love yours and Taj Bradley.
Yeah, I think the Rays are going to need that arm. And they have been doing anything but babying this kid. 133 innings last year. Yeah, but, you know, is Yoni Chironas the answer as their five starter? I don't think so. Yeah.
Let's take our final break. Timmy, come back. Let's chit-chat a little bit. Maybe I'll ask you another question or two.
Yeah, sure. Fun stuff.
Forgot how much fun this segment was, Timmy.
Yeah, it's a hoot. I got some really great sleepers for both the Red Sox and the Jays for when we continue this discussion. So,
we will finish it up next Sunday. We'll do that and the NL East, Timmy. But let's see if there's a sneaky question. Oh, okay, I got one for the Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
Chris Sale will be drafted as a blank starting pitcher, and you will draft him as a blank starting pitcher.
He's going to be drafted as a number two type starter.
Really?
And I'm not going to have him rostered this year. I will look at him for number three. I know the injuries have been pure fluke, but there's just been so many of them. Like, where do you, you know, is it almost time to break out the bubble wrap?
I can't wait to draft because it just blows me away that he'd be as a number two starter. I mean, how can you draft with all that risk associated as a number two starter? I find that to be crazy.
Well, the injury last year was riding his bike, wasn't it?
I can't remember, Timmy.
I think that was the second one.
The first one, he had two injuries, right? He was about to come back, and then he broke his hand.
Yeah, it was a right wrist and a broken left pinky finger.
Yeah,
I think one was on a bike. I can't remember what the other one was.
Yeah,
the fractured right wrist was a bicycle accident.
So Chris Sale or Luis Severino, who would you rather roster?
Luis Severino,
question. And Luis Severino is going to go after Chris Sale.
Yes.
Wow. I agree with the great Tim McCloud in this. And if Chris Sale returns top 10 pitching as a top 10 pitcher, Tim, you just have to tip your cap.
Again, you know, we're looking at a very, very early time frame right now, but I just feel more comfortable with Severino than I do with Sale.
Even though
the injuries aren't baseball related, the Pascal, it's again, I. No, it's a pass for me.
I don't have access for some reason. I just typed in NFBC ADPs and they give me last year. So where's Chris Sale going in the NFBC so far?
Okay, NFBC.
Where are you finding those?
I've got Chrome, so I got NFBC. It comes up and away you go.
Really? Okay.
NFBC 2023, maybe?
All right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, right now, Chris Sale is going. Where is Chris Sale going? Oh, come on. Scrolling down. We're down into the 30s. Maybe I erred in my... Actually, Chris Sale is going, it looks like, after Luis Severino.
Yeah.
I still haven't found Chris Sale yet. He's going at 65, less relief pitchers.
I become a little bit more interested in that, Tim.
As do I.
Interesting.
I just made an assumption there. And I still think. I still think Chris Sale is going to go higher than Luis Severino by draft day.
Yeah. I'm seeing 10-1-2012. Okay, maybe they are here. Oh, I am. To 11. That's right. 10-1-2022 to 11.
Yeah.
Yeah, 27 drafts, right?
That would be it. 27. Yeah.
We got Trey Turner, Rodriguez, Acuna, Jose Ramirez. That's, yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Aaron Judge, Kyle Tucker, Ohtani, Witt Jr. at 8. Wow.
Witt Jr. Okay. All right.
Ahead of Juan Soto.
I don't know, Timmy. I'll take Juan Soto.
Well, and this goes into my argument about, looking at Garrett Cole, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, 10 through 15 right now. You got Betts, Yordan Alvarez, Vlad Jr., Bo Bichette, Freddie Freeman, Corbin Burns at 15, Manny Machado at 16, and third base looks ugly this year.
You know, there's no pitchers. The first pitcher off the board is that Corbin Burns? Am I reading this right?
You are reading that right. Burns at 15, followed by Cole at 17, followed by...
Very un-NFBC-like. Usually, there's always a pitcher or two that go in the first round. Interesting.
24th, then it goes to Alcantara. Yeah. But here's where it gets interesting, starting at about 26. You got Cease at 26, Woodruff at 27, Diaz at 28, Class A at 29. Then you got McClanahan at 32, Strider at 33, DeGrom at 34, Nolan at 36. There's a slew of pitchers going in the second and third.
I think that, to me, that makes sense. I don't know. I mean, I play the NFBC draft and hold all the time, and closing is a tough gig, Tim.
It is.
And sometimes when you play that format, and you think it goes against everything you core believe in, that you got to take a closer in the second round. Sometimes, to me, it just to lock that guy in, because if you wait too long, you'll draft somebody that you think is going to get saves in January, and he's nowhere to be seen by April.
Well, yeah, he's already been DFA'd.
Yeah, exactly, and it happens all the time. So,
in a draft and hold format, I totally agree with your assessment there. Got to get a closer. You got to have one all year. Now you can roll the dice on three or four other guys after you get one. But if you roll the dice on half a dozen guys and none of them get it, congratulations, you're looking at a 1-2 point in saves.
And then it's not
going to win you a league.
It's not going to win you a league. That, exactly right, Tammy. So yeah. that is something that, you know, I still don't know if I do a Class A or Diaz in the second round, but I, you know, don't feel, if you're playing this format, you grab a closer in the third or fourth round, don't feel bad that you did that. First of all, a lot of other guys are doing it, so you're not really losing anything there. But if you wait till if you start to get, you know, the bottom closers, Tammy, good luck, man. You got to hit on a Felix Bautista, who gets the job midseason and wasn't on anybody's radar at the beginning of the season.
Well, just to give you an idea, after those first two closers go off the board, Hader at 39, Liam Hendricks at 40. Okay, then you move down to Jordan Romano at 47. Okay, and Ryan Presley at 57, Devin Williams at 58. We got six closers off the board before we get finished. You know, your top 60 players. And there's a reason. You got to have saves, and you can only roll the dice on so much.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, you get Devin Williams, a good pitcher. Is he going to be the closer? I don't know. Yeah. A lot can happen there. So I think those other guys will be. So it's very, very interesting. Timmy, that is a wrap, my friend. What are we having for dinner?
What are we having for dinner? Tim is going to make up some rigatoni and meat sauce and sit down and have about three bowls, freeze fourth, and life is good.
Three bowls?
I got an appetite on.
Wow.
I'm feeling hungry tonight, Rich.
All right. Well, good for you. So we just got back into town. There's no food, so it is sushi night tonight, Tim. Our favorite, going to the sushi lounge. I'll pick some up. Walk down to the Whole Foods, pick up some fruit for tomorrow's breakfast, and that is my evening after I get off the podcast with you. So that's what we're doing, and then we're going to have a long night's sleep. So
yeah, I was going to say two days drive on the road. Are you finding though that it's better with the two than it was with the one long day? Are you verdict still out on that one?
You know, it's way safer. first of all, because, I mean, you're after 10, 11 hours on the road, you're exhausted, right? I don't really recommend that for anybody. But, you're tired both days. I do like the fact that we're not getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get on the road by 5:30, 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's tough. And so I don't miss that. So I like
you're pulling into a heavy traffic area at the end of a 10, 11 hour day. That can't be good because
your
wits aren't about you the same as if it was at the end of a 6 hour day sort of thing. That's my thought process.
Yeah. So I can't even say the jury's out anymore, Timmy. It's just what we're going to do because it's the safer, wiser thing to do. So that's what we're doing, Timmy. Can I do it all in a day? Absolutely. I'm tired both ways, but I think it's just the right thing to do. So I think that's what we are going to do.
Yeah, good for you. I've done Arizona in 3 days from here. This trip I did it in 5 and 6. I'm well past the stage in life where I have to be somewhere in that much of a hurry. And if I have to be there in that much of a hurry, I'll leave a couple of days earlier.
There you go. Yeah, we stayed with the pups. The pups were very good in the hotel last night. It was funny. I looked at the bill, and essentially it was the same amount for us to stay in a very nice hotel with the dogs as opposed to boarding them by themselves, Timmy, which is $250 a night. So we got to stay for free. That's the way I looked at it.
Well,
so.
You can thank the dogs for that, right?
Exactly. Timmy, it's been a lot of fun. You did a great job. Thanks for carrying the ball because I'm a little tired today. But we'll be back at it on Sunday. And, Tim, at some point in the next – probably the week after next, we're going to be doing, what are we doing? The National League East on the prospect stuff, which is always going to be fun.
Yeah, I think the Mets went up today, if I'm not mistaken, or sometime in the past.
The Mets went up on Friday. So we've got the Mets, and the next week we've got, I guess, the last two, which would be the Phillies and the Nationals. So then we'll be ready for the following week. Tim, I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is one of the best holidays because it's just eating. So it's no gifts, no stress about that. All you do is eat.
Yes. To all my friends south of the border, may your bird be anything but foul. Have a great Thanksgiving, folks.
Timmy, be well. Take care.
Yeah.